Genesis chapter 16, let's begin reading in verse number 1. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. And she had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. So Sarai said to Abram, "See now, the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please go into my maid, perhaps I shall obtain children by her." And Abram heeded the voice of Sarai. Then Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan. So he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress became despised in her eyes. Then Sarai said to Abram, "My wrong be upon you. I gave my maid into your embrace, and when she saw that she had conceived, I became despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between you and me." So Abram said to Sarai, "Indeed, your maid is in your hand. Do to her as you please." And when Sarai dealt harshly with her, she fled from her presence. Now the angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, by the spring on the way to Shur. And he said, "Hagar, Sarai's maid, where have you come from? And where are you going?" She said, "I am fleeing from the presence of my mistress Sarai." The angel of the Lord said to her, "Return to your mistress and submit yourself under her hand." Then the angel of the Lord said to her, "I will multiply your descendants exceedingly so that they shall not be counted for multitude." And the angel of the Lord said to her, "Behold, you are with child and you shall bear a son. You shall call his name Ishmael because the Lord has heard your affliction. He shall be a wild man. His hand shall be against every man and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren." Then she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, "You are the God who sees." For she said, "Have I also here seen him who sees me?" Therefore the well was called Beer Lahairoi. Observe, it is between Kadesh and Bered. So Hagar bore Abram a son. And Abram named his son, whom Hagar bore, Ishmael. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to Abram. Father God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you, Lord, for this passage and the interesting thought that I see and hear today. I pray that you'll guide us and direct us in these few minutes. Help us, Lord. And I pray that as we think about last year, think about the new year, as we prepare to go into our business meeting in just a little bit, that Father, you'll just guide and direct. Help us, Lord, to respond to you, respond to your word, as we ought to, and we pray it in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. When we read this passage, all of us no doubt wonder about the relationships here. Abram was married to Sarai. Sarai had a servant named Hagar. Abram had received a promise from God that he would have a son, and that son would become a great nation. Yet, apparently, he was beginning to wonder if that son would ever come. After all, he was now in his 80s. How many of you in your 80s are looking to have a son? Probably not many. Sarai came up with a plan. A thought came into my brain right there about wives and plans, and I decided I better not say it. Sarai came up with a plan which was not uncommon. The plan wasn't uncommon in the culture in which they lived. She would give her servant Hagar to Abram, and Hagar would bear him a child, and that child would be the promised heir. Now, we have to be very clear about something here. This was a mistake. This was not right. This was sin. This was a sinful decision. It was not God's plan, nor was it his promise. He had promised that Abram would bear a son, through whom all the world would be blessed. We know this as the Abrahamic covenant, and it's first mentioned in Genesis 12. It's mentioned again in 15. And in Genesis chapter 17, God plainly points out to Abraham. He explains it a little further, and he explains that Abraham taking matters into his own hands was not the plan. If you want to jump down, look at chapter 17, verse 16. Verse 16, "I will bless her." This is God speaking. "I will bless her." Sarah, he's talking about here. "And also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples shall be from her." Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, "Shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child?" And Abraham said to God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before you." Then God said, "No, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his descendants after him." So this was not God's plan, this Ishmael thing. It's something that Abram and Sarai cooked up on their own, and it was not the right thing to do. I read that and I wonder how many decisions do we make and simply neglect to seek God's will for those decisions before we make them? Sarah made a decision. Abraham went along with it. There was not a sliver of prayer mentioned anywhere in there. Not one time do we see them saying, "Lord, is this what we should do? This Hagar thing. Is that your idea, Lord?" No, nothing at all. It was entirely theirs. Had either of them sought the will of God before acting, they might have heard God's plan more fully explained before they made a mistake. And so we could learn from that. I mean, that's kind of one of the things that we see here in this passage. We need to learn to pray before we take matters into our own hands. But today, I want to set all that aside. I really want to set most of the story aside. And I want to consider only a tiny portion of it. And actually, the portion I want to consider is the conversation that the angel of the Lord had with Hagar. Very, very interesting. And I want to pilfer just one little phrase, one little question, really, that he asked Hagar. He said, "Hagar, Sarai's maid, where have you come from and where are you going? Where have you come from and where are you going?" I just think that's a great question for us to ask, a great thing for us to ponder as we end one year and start another one. Where have you come from? And where are you going? So let's think about that. We're going to divide the message up into those two points. Where have you come from? And number two, where are you going? So let's look at the first part of that question. Where have you come from? You know, when we start a new year, right at the start of the new year, as we are today, this is the first Lord's Day in 2024. You can't help but look forward with anticipation, can you? At least I do. I mean, some people are very pessimistic and fatalistic, and they think, "Oh, woe is me, it's going to be worse and worse and worse." I mean, I know some people think that way, but I'm usually the opposite. I'm usually very optimistic at the start of things. And I'll tell you why that is. It's because I have a Bible, and I believe the Bible, and I believe the promises of God. And I think that my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ has something to do with the fact that when I come to a new year, I think one year closer to heaven, one year closer to seeing Jesus face to face. And I'm just optimistic about it right from the start. And I think a lot of people are, certainly most Christians, I think, are optimistic at the start of a new year. We get into the middle of the year, we go on down the road around June or July, we won't be thinking about that kind of thing. We'll just be involved in all of the little stuff of life. And then we'll come to the end of the year. And then all of a sudden we'll say, "Hey, we're at the end of the year. And now we ought to go back and reminisce a little bit and think back over what has taken place in the last 365 years. Where have we come from?" You know, many things happened last year. I believe it's good to reminisce about where we're coming from. Where we're coming from in our walk with Christ, in our relationships with Him and with other believers, with each other, where we're coming from in our jobs, our careers, and the development of our children and our grandchildren. Looking back is good. Assessing where we've come from is good. I love the story of Nehemiah. Some years ago, we preached through the book of Nehemiah, and it was one of the favorite series that we've done here. And one of the things that I always like about Nehemiah is it's a great book about leadership. It's a great book about, you know, how to manage a huge project, things like that. If you're in project management, you ought to read the book of Nehemiah. But one of the things Nehemiah did when he first set out to go to Jerusalem and rebuild the walls, the Bible says that he first of all assessed the situation. Doesn't use that language. But he went to Jerusalem and he looked it over and he checked it out. And he asked, "Where have we come from? What has happened here?" And he assessed the situation. And if you're like me, you look back on 2023 and you assess that year and you think about that year, well, you have to admit that there were some good things as well as some bad things. I think we can rejoice in victories from 2023. I'm certain that we can in this little church. We're going to share some of those in just a few moments in our business meeting. We can be reminded of God's blessings and answered prayers. Moses told the Israelites to look back over what God had done and be thankful. He said, "When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you." Deuteronomy 8:10. We can certainly do that, can't we? The psalmist said that looking back over what he has done should cause us to sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Can you do that over the last year? I think we can. Where have you come from? Where have you come from? What good evidences of God's grace did you see last year? What prayers did he answer for you? This past Wednesday night in prayer meeting, we spent some time just saying, what specific answers to prayer or what specific things do you have to praise God for in 2023? And you know, we took up most of the prayer meeting with people just sharing some of those things. It was good to hear. What growing in grace did you experience in 2023? What blessings for which you cannot help but thank him as you ponder them took place in 2023? We can rejoice in those good things. It doesn't stop there, though. We can also rejoice in and learn from the hard times, from failures, from fallings, from trials, because we can be reminded of how God got us through those, even the hard times, even the valleys. You know, anybody can trust in God in the mountaintop. I've known so many believers who are just gung-ho, 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 as long as they're way up here. And the second the slightest little thing comes along, suddenly they're falling apart. Anybody can trust God in the mountaintop. But when he brings you through the hard stuff, through the valley, through the darkness, when you have to learn to endure hardship as a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's when it's going to increase your faith. Some years ago, I wrote a little booklet right after my wife died, and I wrote about the terrible experience of losing her. You know, I can pick that little booklet up still today and be whisked right back to those moments. It was just a terrible valley in my life. It really was. And I've shared this thought with you before, but there's a quote in that book that I think applies here. And here's what it says. And I quote, "If I were to step outside myself for a minute and observe this experience as an outsider, the thing I would find most interesting is the effect all this had on my faith. I don't suppose anybody can go through such an experience without questions surfacing. Why God was one that intruded on my thoughts often. And it certainly wasn't the only question that I had during those days of grief. But one of the things I found interesting and indeed encouraging was that in spite of the questions, my faith did not waver." End quote. And I think when we look back over what God has brought us through, and we see how he was with us through every bit of it, even the darkest and most horrible of valleys, we cannot help but rejoice. And we cannot help. We don't take any credit for that. It's the grace of God that allows it and causes it. But my goodness, where have you come from? Where have you come from? As we consider where we've been in 2024, even the hard times can bring us joy, because they prove to us how God works on our behalf. And the harder the trial, the greater the darkness, the deeper the valley, the greater we see of his love and of his mercy as he helps us through. I think everybody should spend some time, just a little time maybe, looking back and asking yourself the question, where have I come from? What has God done in my life in the past year? What did I learn? Where did I fall? Where did I succeed? Who did I bless? Who blessed me? I think every husband, every man, every father, every wife, every mother, every teenager, every person ought to do this. I think we as a church ought to do it. And we're going to do a little of that in our business meeting in just a few moments. I think every elder, deacon, teacher, musician, everybody ought to be looking back over the past year and saying, where have we come from? Because I think that's a good way to make the most of the last year. But now notice the second half of the question. Where are you going? Where are you going? Now, clearly, much of the new year is beyond our control. We can't answer that question with any certainty about many aspects of the future. Who knows? Who in the world knows what is going to happen in our country and with our government in 2024? I am today nearly 66 years of age. And I have lived six plus decades on this earth. And I will tell you that at no time during those 66 years of life have I been more convinced than I am right now that Jesus could come back any minute. Any minute. It is imminent. World events are so aligned with Scripture at this point in history that His coming has to be soon. It has to be imminent. Everything points to that. Who knows whether He will come back in 2024? Who knows? Even so, come Lord Jesus. I hope He does. Who knows where our health will take us in 2024? You know, many people make New Year's resolutions at the end of a year and the beginning of a new year. How many of you do that? Liars. I know there's more that do that. I no longer call them New Year's resolutions. I call them goals. But, we'll look and we'll say there's some things that we want to change, some things we want to improve. And, you know, if you study this, if you go out and you look and see what's the most common resolutions most people make, almost always people are making resolutions about their health. I'm going to lose some weight. I'm going to exercise more. I'm going to eat better. You know, all these kinds of things. But here's the reality. Even the most fit of us, even the ones who spend the most time diligently taking care of their diet and their intake and all that kind of stuff, they cannot know what will happen with respect to their health in this new year. You just can't know. The Apostle Paul told young Timothy that bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things. He wasn't saying there was anything wrong with it. He was just saying that it's not the end all of everything. It can help minimize health problems, but certainly not many. You can't know when cancer or heart attack or brain aneurysm should come along and strike you. Probably nobody remembers who Jim Fix was. Anybody remember Jim Fix? Ah, somebody remembers Jim Fix. Jim Fix was an avid runner back in the 70s, back when I was in high school. And he actually wrote a book. It was a best-selling book published in 1977 called The Complete Book of Running. He was a health fanatic, ran all over the place. Anybody know how Jim Fix died? He died running. He was 52 years old and dropped dead of a heart attack. Probably most of us know Steve Jobs, who he was. Most of us who have an Apple product in our pocket or on our desk know that Steve Jobs was a very creative and brilliant individual business-wise. He was also a lunatic and a nut and a health nut. He was a vegan sometimes. He was a fruitarian sometimes. I have a biography of him at home that talks about how everybody that was around him had to give him lots of room because he had such weird diets that he smelled so bad that nobody could stand to be around him. He was completely obsessed with that kind of thing. Anybody know how Steve Jobs died? 56 years old of cancer. And we could go on with this. We all have examples of this. We have examples of this in our own lives. We don't know what might happen to us in 2024. Who knows what weather disasters might affect us? World events. Who knows whether our house will catch on fire, as Cam and Wendy recently experienced. Who knows whether we'll be minding our own business, driving home from work, and be sent out into eternity by some driver losing control. Our dear sister Sandy Wagner, simply hauling her trash can to the curb for pickup a few weeks ago, struck and killed by a driver. And we mourned that, and we mourn it alongside her father Ken. And can't help but consider how little we know about what might happen in 2024. Where are you going? We simply can't answer that question about everything, can we? We cannot know everything about 2024. But that very fact is why you would be a fool to go another minute without knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior. Without being saved, without knowing for certain that whatever happens in the new year, you're okay. You're safe. You're secure. You see, we can answer that where are you going question about some things. I mean, some things primarily have to do with our will. And we can decide some things that are going to change in the new year. And I'll tell you, if you've never done it before, one of those things that absolutely must be decided and must be taken care of in 2024, and I would suggest it be taken care of today, is your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the first Lord's Day in 2024. Let me be the first person to say to you that if you have not trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to do it today. Let me ask you some questions. Just a few questions. You've heard them all before. But let me ask you some questions to see how you can answer them. Because if you can't answer these, you need to deal with this. This is the most important thing you'll hear all day. Here's question number one. If you were to die today, do you know for certain where you would spend eternity? And before you answer that question, just flippantly, you need to recognize that every single word in that question is important. If you were to die today, and you could, any of us could. I'm getting ready to get in my car after our meeting today and drive to Florida. That's a long way to be on the road with a lot of crazy people. All kinds of things could happen. Do you know? That word know is important. I don't hope I'm going to heaven someday. I don't hope I'm saved. I know it. Do you know it? Do you know for certain? No doubts. Do you know where? The Bible is very, very clear that there's only two wheres. Either heaven or hell. Will it be heaven or hell if you die today? Here's another question. If you were to stand before God today and he were to ask, why should I let you into heaven? How would you answer him? You know the answer. Because there's only one. There's only one right answer to that question. Do you know it? Have you been born again? Jesus said it is a must. You must be born again. Have you trusted? And are you trusting in Jesus Christ and in him alone for your salvation? We could ask this question any number of ways. But my friend, if you're uncertain how to answer those questions, you need to start the new year by being saved. There's nothing else that matters. Let's talk about it today. During the invitation. Or after the invitation. Come and grab me when I'm trying to run out the door to go to Florida. Come and grab me. And we'd love to talk to you about that. I mean, nothing would thrill me more than seeing you start the new year by coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You see, we can answer that where are you going question about some things, can't we? I mean, those of us who know Christ, who are Christians, we can decide some things are going to be different in 2024. We can decide that we're going to draw closer to the Lord, that we're going to be more disciplined in our reading of his word. We're going to consider stepping onto the discipleship pathway and get involved in that here at FBC. We're going to pray more. Attend prayer meeting more. More faithful to worshiping, tithing, giving, exercising our spiritual gifts. I mean, all those things. We can decide some things. We can decide that we're going to treat our wives and husbands better. We can decide that we're going to live more like Christians in the everyday world and not just on Sundays. That we're going to spend more time influencing our children and grandchildren about the things of God and not just sports and games and recreation. That we're going to show more and more evidence of the fruit of the Spirit of our lives in our lives and less of the works of the flesh. We can decide. We can decide that we'll be a follower of Jesus Christ in 2024, learning from and living like him and leading others into that same relationship. So I ask you, where are you going in 2024? Many things are, for the most part, matters of your will. And you can decide. And then concerning those areas that are unknowable, where we simply can't know what the new year holds, well, in those cases, we can simply trust in our good and glorious and loving and gracious God that he will bring us through whatever comes along in 2024. He's always done it in the past. He'll do it in 2024. So where are you going in the new year? Wherever it is, if you're a Christian, if you're saved, you can rest assured that our Lord and Savior will go with you and be with you through it all. I want to suggest two verses in closing this morning that they always help me, and I would suggest that these two verses you might want to keep on your heart and mind if any of those unknowable things come along in 2024. It'll help you to remember that God will get you through them. And he'll be there with you through them. First one is Psalm 37, verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. God's got this. He's got you. He's directing your steps. He's directing your path. And so we can trust him. And then the second one is Psalm 31, verse 14, which is, if I didn't already have a life verse, this one might be it. Because the more I read this verse and the more I think about this verse, I can hardly ever read it without busting into tears because it's just so true. Psalm 31, verse 14 says, but as for me, I trust in you, O Lord. I say you are my God. My times. My times are in your hand. We are safe and secure and held in the hand of God. No matter what comes in 2024, my times are in your hand. Your times are in his hand. Where have you come from? Where are you going? On this, the first Lord's Day of 2024, let's thank God for the past. Let's learn from the past. And let's trust him for what lies ahead.